Welcome back to The Ed Show, episode 54. I'm technical evangelist Simon Perryman, and I'm joined once again by Rick Claus.
Hey.
And we have a pretty exciting episode today. We're going to spend some time talking about clustering, but specifically how we upgrade our clusters from our older versions, Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2, up to Windows Server 2012.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one because I get a lot of questions about
this. Me too. You know, I regularly get them. I've been asked about them. And, you know, it's kind of a non-traditional upgrade path mm-hmm. as you think of clusters compared to other traditional server workloads. So yeah. I think it's going to be good we spend a little time on that.
So what do you got for news, dude?
Well, first of all, we always like to talk about the news. And first announcement is we have a brand new infrastructure guide that we've just released available at downloads.microsoft.com. And this is basically a guide that's designed for your infrastructure as a service, private cloud deployments. It's going to talk you through different scenarios you want to consider, both virtualized and non-virtualized, then take you through the infrastructure layer, the services and applications layer, and then finally actually managing and monitoring those applications when you put them up in the environment. So we're going to go and add the link to the bottom of the page, but if you're new to the cloud, new to infrastructures or services, kind of a good guide to just help you understand the basics, key planning considerations to get you up and running.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about labs and sort of stuff and how to get you up and running, things like that. We actually just released with the IDX team, internally that's the team that helps us produce a lot of this technical content. They went off and created, as an extension to the TechNet Wiki, a lab guide that allows you to make a Windows Server 2012 base configuration. So it'll track you through how to go off, set up your machines, Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012, either from a physical perspective or from a virtual perspective to be able to do it. And I've got a quick little utility here to show you how to get there nice and fast if I can get my browser page open. If you just go to your favorite search engine and then put in your search commands, let me Bing that for you. And you just go to the box and you type in test lab guide Windows Server 2012 base config, and it does the Bing for you if you click on the search button, and you're good to go.
Pretty nice.
And it's the highlighted link there, download the lab guide, also the Microsoft Download Center.
Cool. Well, talking about some other guides, Microsoft IT has actually built its own guide, what we call a showcase guide, talking about hybrid clouds and how Microsoft takes advantage of the hybrid cloud. Now, essentially, what a hybrid cloud is, this is our ability to manage applications both on-premise and scale them out to our public cloud, Windows Azure.
So it's different than a private cloud,
different than a private, than a public cloud. Different than public. It's leveraging both.
It's in between.
It is. So, you know, some of the most common cases we have is you run out of capacity, right? Yeah. You have all of your virtualization hosts using up all of their resources. You still need to scale out. You've got an important event coming up, a new website, a new product you're launching. Mm-hmm. Go run that capacity up in Windows Azure. Okay. Go run it in the public cloud. Use that additional capacity when you need it on demand.
So this is from our own in-house IT shop.
From our own in-house IT. So you want to learn how Microsoft IT takes advantage of hybrid cloud? Go check out this link right at the bottom of this page again.
There we go. I've got one here for understanding and troubleshooting dynamic access control. Another one of those great download documents. And once again, just to make sure we've got it all straight here.
But first, what exactly is dynamic access control?
Okay, well, dynamic access control is one of those features that is new with Server 2012. It's a enhancement and eventually, in the common sense of the term, going to become a replacement, potentially. I say potentially because it's a pretty big shift of moving away from static groups with globals inside local groups and local groups inside local machines and protecting the access and the resources, AGLP, I think it was in the old days. It basically now replaces this with actual metadata inside the Active Directory to be able to do ifs, ands, and ors, if you will, to dynamically choose it. So maybe you belong to the finance group, but then you happen to only be an intern for a little while. We simply flip a bit in the Active Directory to say that you're now an intern, and then you only have read-only access as opposed to full access to a share, and we don't have to worry about group membership changes. We simply flip the bits inside the Active Directory to be able to do stuff. So again, do a quick little search for understanding and troubleshooting dynamic access control. Third link on the list is download the document once again, and it's a good walkthrough of troubleshooting because it is a pretty big mind warp to get your head around how this new concept works.
Very cool. Well, Mr. Server Guy, I'm going to go back to our private cloud world once again.
Yeah, no problem.
And I'm going to talk about some of the new management packs that we've released for System Center Operations Manager. This past couple of weeks, we've released three new ones. The first one is for Windows Deployment Services. So if you want to manage your WDS infrastructure, make sure that tasks are being completed successfully, deployments have been successful, the unattended scripts have been installed, not installed, their level of execution, this will actually collect all this data for you, roll it up into a single report through Operations Manager. So you can check how all of your WDS deployments are going. The next management pack is for Windows Server Network Load Balancing, which is our in-box software-based load balancer. This has been updated to support Windows Server 2012, and we're essentially monitoring the health of all of our different nodes in our NLB cluster, so we can check whether they're online, if they're in a process of convergence, making sure that they're allocating the traffic correctly, and making sure that they stay healthy. And the final management pack just released is for Windows Server failover clustering, based on Windows Server 2012. So this is going to make sure that your cluster nodes are healthy, online, operational, the resources are running, they're not reaching maximum host capacity or utilization. And it's just basically making sure that your entire cluster infrastructure stays online and stays healthy. But that is actually a great segue into our next topic, our interview for the day, talking about cluster management and specifically cluster upgrading from our old version to Windows Server 2012.
Sweet. You got a lineup for that?
I have Rob Hyman coming up next. And so without further ado, let's cut over to the interview and chat with Rob.
Get out of your way, man.
Welcome back. I'm joined by Rob Hyman today, and we're going to be talking about cluster migration. But first, Rob, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Rob Hyman. I'm a program manager on failover clustering, and I'm very happy to be here on the Edge.
Great. Well, first of all, why don't we start talking about what exactly is a migration versus what exactly is an upgrade, and what's kind of the difference between these two processes?
Okay, so migration versus upgrade. So upgrading the operating system is something that works great on a standalone server, but on a clustered server, we can't really upgrade the cluster with everything in place. It's something that's not possible. Instead, we migrate the clustered roles from an old cluster to a new cluster.
Now, in the past, you know, older versions of failover clustering back in 2000 to 2003, we used to have the ability where we could have a node that was 2000, add a node that was 2003, and basically do a failover as our migration. Right. Now, my understanding is that's no longer possible, but what's kind of the reasoning behind that?
Right. So we no longer support a rolling upgrade in Windows Server 2008, 2008 R2, or 2012. Essentially, the testing, this capability, was very, very expensive. So we, and also based on feedback from many customers who were upgrading hardware at the same time as the OS, we opted to use the migration approach rather than to attempt to do a rolling upgrade and upgrade the OS on the cluster while the cluster is running.
So, I mean, so some of the complexity, as I understand it, is if you now have to support two versions of an operating system within a cluster, let's say you do a live migration of a VM, you have to think, live migration, is it going down level, is it going up level? And so, I mean, almost every single piece of code has to now have a conditional statement, right? One version or two version, and then we have to test that, so.
Right. So, and that's the problem, right? It's the expense of making sure that the cluster behaves down level. Right, so the new version of the OS has to fully understand and behave correctly using all the old cluster APIs and messages.
So it sounds like if we had gone with the decision to go and support that, we probably would have had to cut other good features, other useful features,
right? We would have had to cut a lot of features. And so, although, you know, not an easy decision to make, we think it's the right decision.
So we did more improvements on the day-to-day operational stuff, and that kind of one-time cost of upgrading. Still haven't made major investments in that. Well, I guess we have, actually, and you're going to talk about some of those today,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are
but
making...
But it's not streamlined yet.
We're making some improvements. With each version, we're making improvements, and I'm happy about that. We are looking for feedback on migration. So if anyone has feedback for us and has you know, stories that they'd like to tell us about their experiences with the Cluster Migration Wizard or in upgrading their operating system, I'd love to hear them.
Great. I think two great places where they can do that is through our TechNet forums, or they can just leave a comment right at the bottom of this page, and we'll go share that along.
Right down there.
Right down there. But so tell me, what exactly is the cluster migration process? What's this migration wizard?
So there's two approaches. So you can attempt to upgrade a cluster in what we call in place by evicting nodes, upgrading the OS on those nodes, forming a cluster, right, and then migrating the roles across.
So you have to migrate between two separate clusters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Always.
So, okay. Not
always.
Within one. Okay.
Right. And then there's also the another way to do it is to have just two clusters. So you have an old cluster, you stand up a new cluster, and then you migrate the roles over to the new cluster.
And so if people are buying new hardware as part of a renewal process, they're more likely to do that, right? They deploy their new cluster, have their old cluster, and migrate between the two.
For each cluster role, there are usually the cluster migration wizard will do everything for you. There are some cluster roles that where you need special tools. So for example, or a special set of steps, and the cluster migration wizard can't really help you. So for example, a SQL Server migration or Exchange, or DFSR, right? Those roles all require special steps to migrate. But most of the other roles, like Hyper-V, file server, all of those roles.
Everything else that's built in, they
migrate very well.
Okay, interesting. Now, Hyper-V, we're going to use the migration wizard, but you know, there are some other ways to migrate Hyper-V virtual machines, though, right?
Right.
We have backup and restore. We have an export-import. We have Hyper-V replica, I guess, is almost some form of migration. Loosely put, right? You know, disaster recovery there.
Point-in-time recovery.
Right. But my understanding is that this migration wizard is essentially built on top of the Hyper-V export and import, right?
Correct.
So could you talk us through a little more about what's different with Hyper-V and, you know, how the migration wizard uses this Hyper-V process?
Sure. Let me show
jump
you.
Jump to the demo.
Let's just go ahead and have a look here. So what I have here, this is a Windows Server 2012 cluster. This is going to be our target cluster.
Okay.
This cluster currently is running a couple of roles. If we look at the disks, we can see that it's got three disks in here. Two of them are in cluster storage volumes. Okay, now let's look at my source cluster.
So this is our new cluster, our 2012,
right,
that we're going to pull things to.
Now, let's have a look at this. This is our source cluster. So this is the Windows Server 2008 R2 cluster that I want to migrate some VMs from.
Okay.
So here I have an application. I just call it my VM app, and it's got three VMs. You can see them here. And so these are the three VMs in my application. So you can imagine this is a multi-tiered application, maybe with a web front end, a business tier, and then a database tier. Now, even though I said that SQL Server can't be migrated using the migration wizard, if it's in a VM, of course it can
There be. We go. So we don't really look at what's in the VM. It's purely migrating the virtual machine, its configuration file, its VHD, all of that, those components of the VM itself.
Right. Now, since these three VMs are a single application, the way I've configured this on the source cluster is I have them all on the same disk. They're all in CSV disk 2. So as we'll see, that makes migration much easier.
Okay.
So let's have a quick look. Let's go over to the target cluster. Now, here's the up-level target cluster. This is a Windows Server 2012 cluster. And straight from the top node, from the cluster, here on the left-hand pane, we can run migrate roles. The migration wizard is always run from the target cluster. So what it's doing is it's pulling roles over or up.
So your new cluster connects to the old one, and it's a pull operation.
Exactly.
Now, can it connect to, let's say you're doing a consolidation, you have four old clusters. Could it pull from the first, then go to the second, the third? So you can use this as a consolidation tool as well.
Absolutely. No problem. So let's go ahead and run the cluster migration wizard on our target cluster. So this is running on my Windows Server 2012 cluster. And I just need to type in the name of my target cluster.
And so what this is going to do is going to now connect to that target cluster or one of the nodes from it.
I can also press the browse button
if
we're feeling brave and we want to enumerate all the clusters on the domain. But
let's pass on that one for now.
Let me just type in the name for now.
So now what's it doing? It looks like it's connecting to the old cluster to validate that you have access to it, I assume.
Exactly. That's another great point. I have to be an administrator on both of these clusters.
Okay.
Right. Now, the first step is that the migration wizard will identify the roles that can be migrated. So, and you'll see here in this tree control that it's built, right, it's actually found the roles, and it selected them. It's displaying them on a per disk basis.
Ah, so you have three of the VMs on volume
right.
two, one of them on volume three.
Right. Now, from basically, the migration wizard is excellent at moving cluster roles when you want to reuse the storage.
Okay.
So, in this case, let's reuse the storage from the old cluster and the new cluster, or the source and target.
So at some point we're going to have, so we have to assume that that storage can be accessible by both clusters
yes.
at some point.
And in fact, I've gone to our storage node and I've configured the masking, the LUN masking, so that both of these clusters can see the disks.
Well, that should help minimize downtime then. If we're not copying data, they're already connected to the storage.
Right.
Hopefully when we copy the info over,
right.
just reconnect it. Okay,
downtime is very minimal.
But just to be clear, there will be some downtime, though, as part of this process.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. And I'll tell you when we get to the downtime part.
Okay.
At the moment, there's no downtime.
So you're saying that right now, all of these VMs are still running.
Yes.
People are still connecting. They're accessing data.
My,
no downtime
yet. My customers
yet.
Are happily using the application.
So does this mean that you could use this migration wizard almost to test the migration before you actually do it in production, see what's going to move over, what's not, before you do it live and have
Absolutely.
Downtime?
Absolutely. And many of our customers do that.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and select one of the three VMs here that's in the application. I want to show you something here. Whenever I select one of these three VMs, right, they all are selected, right? It's because we will move the roles on a disk by disk basis. So it's determined that all of these VMs are common, and that's actually the behavior that I want.
Yep, because right? they're in the same application right. group. They form a multi-tier right. service. Yep.
Exactly. So what I can do at this point is I can actually view the report, what we call the pre-migration report, and I can have a look at what it tells me. So here, basically, it's telling me, it's giving me a report. It's looking at all the resources in the groups that I've selected,
mm-hmm.
and it's telling me what it's going to migrate and what it won't. So it's going to migrate for me, or it's actually determined that I have four VMs that are candidates. But the cluster group and the available storage group are not candidates for migration.
Well, now that makes sense, right? Now, the cluster group itself, that's the access point for the cluster. Now, since we have two separate clusters already, we're not going to want to take that old one and move it over anyway, right?
Exactly.
So that makes sense for us.
Exactly, right. So now, from those four roles that are eligible, we're going to select these three VMs. We could just select the cluster storage volume 2 disk as well. Now, when I go ahead and push next, right, it knows that I'm migrating VMs, so it's asking me, it's prompting me for network connectivity. So on the new cluster, the target cluster, I'm going to select the network card or the virtual switch that I want to use.
So this will automatically update our virtual switch in the VM's
right.
configuration
right.
file. So we've gone from public to this Intel switch.
Right.
And so what does that mean as far as the time to bring those virtual machines online after the migration?
It should make the whole process much faster. So what you see is going on here is the cluster migration wizard is doing a best effort to fix up the resources so that they'll be ready to run on the target cluster as soon as you're ready to run them.
So we're remapping it, and so those VMs
yes.
were connected to this network. We say we move them, now they're connected to this network. So
exactly.
hopefully when we bring it online, they'll already have that network connectivity.
Yes, exactly.
Great.
So let's go ahead and migrate. So it's showing me what I am migrating here, those three VMs. Let's push the button.
That was pretty quick.
Oh, yes.
And do we have another report as well?
We do. This is the post-migration report, which is very important to read. So the post-migration report will tell me what I need to do next, right? And there it is. So what I need to do now is I need to go to my source cluster, take the disks and applications offline, and then I need to online the disks and applications on the target cluster.
So up to now, all of those VMs, they're still running on our
They're
old
still
cluster,
running right now. They're still running.
And they're still accessing data as well.
Yeah.
So you know, users are online, nothing's changing.
Nothing's changed at all. So let's go ahead and push finish, and then I'll show you where this is at, where we're at here.
So those are the three VMs we just
saw. So these are the three VMs, right? So, and you can see that they're offline. That's intentional.
Why?
We always migrate roles whenever we migrate a role, it's always migrated to in an offline state. It's because we don't want there to be any state problem, state issue, when we don't want the VMs running at the same time.
Because they're still up on our old clusters still. Still don't have any downtime up to this point. So we basically copied all the configuration, the VM files, and then it's just a case of, basically doing a swap, right?
Right.
Where we take them off on our old cluster, remap the storage, bring them online on our new cluster.
Now, before we do that, let's have a look here. Now, notice how the migration wizard has made a best effort case to avoid a name collision on the new cluster. So I migrated cluster just two from my old cluster, and here you can see on the new cluster, the target cluster, it's helpfully renamed this so that there's no name collision.
I see. So we already had a cluster disk 2, so it enumerated it 2-2. Okay.
Exactly. So let's go back to the old cluster and brace yourself for some offline time.
So now this will be the time where we actually have downtime from this point on,
So now you can time this if you like. Let's go ahead. I'm going to turn off the virtual machines.
Clock's on.
Right.
Well, isn't it nice in Windows Server 2012 having multi-select?
Multi-select is nice. It makes you appreciate it, yes.
So now our first one's off, our second one's going off. Our third one should go off.
And we'll go ahead and get that started. Right. Now, as a precaution, I'm going to go ahead and turn off cluster disk. I'm going to offline this disk resource as well.
So that will make sure that the old cluster doesn't interact with it.
So that
make a reservation
on
it.
Now, depending on your storage, in this case, we're using an iSCSI target. But depending on your storage, this is where you might want to get your storage administrator involved to flip the LUN masking for you.
Now let's say I had two separate LUNs. I was upgrading my my storage hardware as well. At this point, would I then do a copy from the old storage to the new storage? So we offline, so the data's in a safe state, it's consistent. Copy it over, then we can bring it online.
Exactly.
So if you have that storage, that's an extra step that we would add there as well.
Right. So let's go ahead and bring this disk online first.
Oh, came online straight away.
Right. Then we'll go to the roles and let's power on the VMs one at a time.
So as of right now, you're looking at about 90 seconds of downtime, though you haven't been doing this particularly speedy. I'm assuming if you had a PowerShell script and you kicked off script one, kicked off script two, that you could do this in a matter of seconds almost.
Yes.
And so the downtime here really is on the order of seconds to minutes, depending on how fast you can go through the UI and change those pieces.
Exactly. So what we've done here is we've just migrated three VMs. We're reusing storage. And we've and the downtime's only been about 2 minutes. So it's this technique will work really well for most of our customers who want to reuse their storage.
That's an excellent demo, and I think you explained that really well, showing us how we move between these old versions and these new versions. But one more question that I have, though. What happens if we just have literally a two-node cluster? We can still do this process, right?
Yes.
Walk me through how they would go and point between the old cluster and the new cluster.
With a two-node cluster, first you have to move roles, all the roles over to one of the nodes.
Okay, so one of our nodes is stacked.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Then you need to evict one node.
Take this guy out.
Then you upgrade the OS on the node that you've pulled out.
Okay.
Right. Form a cluster on that node. Then you run the migration wizard.
So right now I would have two clusters. I have my 2012 one node cluster, my 2008 one node cluster.
Right. Then you might run the migration wizard and you copy the cluster roles over to your 2012 cluster until they're all successfully migrated. You then use the same process. You turn down the roles that are on your source cluster. You turn up the roles that are on your target cluster, right? And then you're ready to destroy the cluster on
the old cluster,
right? Bring it over, put a new OS on it, and then add that node to the cluster. And then you can shuffle resources.
Very cool. So with as little as two nodes all the way up to I guess as big as clusters can go, you can support the migration.
64 nodes. Yes, absolutely.
Very cool. Well, that's about all the questions I have. Really interesting topic here.
So, Simon, I was wondering, how do you know so much about the closer.
Well, believe it or not, I actually have the patent for this particular technology. As we may have known, some history. Actually, Rob and I used to be on the same team. Well, Rob actually ended up ultimately replacing me on the cluster team and taking over the cluster migration wizard. So I was delighted to have him on board. Best of both worlds, old versus new world. And thanks for coming on and educating us on all of that stuff.
Anytime. Thank you so much, Simon.
Thanks a
really
lot.
Really appreciate it.
And
a
final resource I want to tell you about, make sure you check out the Cluster Team blogs at blogs.msdn.com/clustering. Lots of great resources written by Rob, the rest of his team, including a document or a blog post on this cluster migration as well.
That's right.
So you want some more details, go check that out, blogs.msdn.com/clustering. Thanks again, Rob.
Thank you, Simon.
Wow, man, I never knew there was so much to do for upgrading your clusters. It doesn't actually look that bad, and it looks like something I can definitely approach and try to do myself, man.
Great. Well, I mean, I hope you learned a lot about it. We have a lot of customer questions, and I hope our customers learned about that as well. So there's no reason why you can't upgrade your infrastructure to Windows Server 2012.
So how do you get hold of us if you want to comment about this particular show, you want to have suggestions?
Well, if you want to comment, you can comment right at the bottom of this page, mm-hmm. or send us a tweet at TNEdge, or send us an email, edge@microsoft.com. We'd love to hear your feedback and, you know, maybe introduce some of these ideas, see what you want to add to the show. And next week in episode 55, we won't promise anything, but we may have what you want. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.